Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for blessing us with moments of joy, just as we just experienced. I pray your blessing upon every one of these young people, that you would strengthen them, that you would protect them, that you would guide them in the way of righteousness. Use them to your glory, Lord. And our Father, I pray that you'll speak to us through your word. And may your message for us today be clear. Use even me, Lord, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Do the right thing. Last week we examined what the Lord had to say to fathers through this passage. Today, Youth Sunday, we'll continue in Ephesians chapter 6, because the Lord has an important message for the young ones as well. Many of us grew up listening to Anansi stories. And during those story times, you could hear a pin drop, because the storyteller had the full undivided attention of the listener. Storytelling is a means for sharing and interpreting experiences. It transcends race, culture, and age. Jesus almost always used stories to illustrate his point by relating to the hearers' everyday lives. The stories Jesus told are called parables. They were simple stories used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. Today I'm going to tell you a story. This is a true story with a valuable lesson, especially for you young people. So pay attention and don't miss the lesson to be learned here. When I was 21 years old, I left Jamaica and went to New York. Big city, Big Apple, New York, to study advertising design. I attended school Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then went to my part-time job, which started at 5 p.m. and ended at 10 p.m. Also on all-day Saturdays. This was a job in the stock department of a major department store chain, where at nights we would unload cartons from trailer trucks, unpack the boxes, and get the merchandise ticketed and ready to be sold in the store. One day I unloaded a carton just in from overseas and opened it with my box cutter. And to my utter amazement, there was sitting on top of the clothes a most beautiful, shiny gold watch. I thought immediately that someone was trying to trap me. But not to worry, for my parents did not raise a thief nor a fool. So I took the watch to my boss and told him what had happened. He was shocked beyond belief, but took the watch and told me to go back to work. The next afternoon when I came into work, there was a message waiting for me to report to my boss's office immediately. So I made my way over there. Now the boss's office had a large glass window, sort of like that glass over there, where you could see in as you approached it. I could clearly see about six men in dark suits and ties standing in the office as I approached. They were most of the store's directors, the CEO, the president, the vice president, and so on. I knocked at the door, and someone said, "Come in." I was very nervous because I did not know what their presence meant. So I entered. "Are you Lincoln Bourne?" "Yes, sir, I am," I replied. "Well, tell us what happened here yesterday." "Well, sir, I opened a box that just came in sealed from China. I think it was China. And right on top of everything was a beautiful gold watch. So I brought it to my boss, gave it to him, and he took it and told me to go back to work." "Well, Lincoln," he said, "we are all here because we very rarely see this kind of honesty. And we want you to know how pleased we are to have someone of your honesty and integrity working for us. You are hereby promoted to supervisor in charge of staff. You will get a higher rate of pay. And you will from now on report to Mr. Harris, the financial controller for the chain of stores." I felt great. And so now when I watch Undercover Boss, I am sometimes filled with emotion and joy for that good employee because I know how it feels to be appreciated and rewarded for good work. So I made my way down to Mr. Harris's office. He was my new boss. Now you have to understand who Mr. Harris was. Mr. Harris was the financial controller for the entire chain of stores, many stores. He was the only black director and one who was greatly loved and highly respected by all. He was about 6 foot six tall, impeccably dressed, and to me, he was like a walking computer because of his outstanding memory. He could spit out detailed information at any time as to how much the store made in June 3 years ago with perfect accuracy. To me as a young man, he was an outstanding role model and mentor. He had been a boxer in his younger days. A very nice man, sort of like George Foreman. And I was thrilled to be now working for him. "Oh, you're Lincoln?" he asked. "Yes, sir," I replied. "I've heard great things about you, son, and you make me proud. Well, now you work for me. No more of this heavy lifting of boxes. I want you to dress always in the suit like I do. And your job is to make the schedule for the cashiers and packers and walk around all five floors of this store making sure that all the cashiers are okay and all the packers have all they need. If they need anything, call the stock room and have one of the boys bring them what they need. Don't let me see you ever lifting anything." And so I did happily for the next remaining 3 years until I graduated school. Young people, if you do the right thing, God will bless you in so many amazing ways. And he will multiply the good deeds and the good seeds you have planted unto a fruitful day of harvest. Integrity is about doing the right thing even when you think you're alone and no one else is watching. Remember, God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So don't think you can hide anything from him. Be careful of what seeds you plant, because as a man soweth, so shall he also reap. Ephesians 6 begins in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, children and young people, the right thing to do is to be obedient to your parents. You must do what they tell you to do. You're not smarter than they are, because you can use a cell phone or a computer faster than they can does not mean you know more than they do. They have been around for many, many more years than you have, and can guide you away from hurt, from trouble, and pain, and mistakes that can mess up the entire rest of your life. So listen to them and do what they tell you to do. It is for your own good. When verse 1 tells children to obey their parents, it is not a request. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, meaning that this is what the Lord God requires, and this is what pleases him. The reason it pleases him is stated next. It says, for this is right. It is the right thing to do. Colossians chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. But if you respect and obey your parents, he promises great rewards. Verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians 6 reminds us to honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Young people, God has made you a wonderful promise to give you longevity if you honor, respect, and obey your parents. Who does not want to live a long time? We all do. So think about that the next time you think about not doing what your parents tell you to do. And you do the right thing. In Daniel chapter 1, we see the account of some godly young people who were not intimidated by their peers. They did not succumb to peer pressure, but stood their ground for what they knew to be right in the sight of God. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had just captured Jerusalem. Immediately afterwards, he gave an order to his leaders to select from the children of Israel those who were the wisest, the most dedicated, the healthiest, those with the greatest potential to be great future leaders, that they should be given special training in the king's palace. The king made provision for these young people to be properly fed with the meat and wine served in the king's palace. But this food and wine offered were contrary to that which was customary for Jewish children, such as Daniel and his friends, to eat. So verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. You see, that's what a good leader does. A good leader is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as he knows that his labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are you a leader? Or are you a follower? Do you stand for what is right? Or do you have to do what everyone else is doing so you can fit in? Young people, you gain respect by standing firm in God's principles, never wavering, not being swayed by the majority. Don't worry that you are the only one standing, as long as you are sure you're doing the right thing. Daniel and his friends were not intimidated even by someone as powerful as the king, because they knew that God was much mightier than any earthly king. For greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. So Daniel made a deal with Melzer, his overseer, to feed them pulse, which is beans and lentils, for 10 days. And then evaluate them at the end of 10 days to see if they had become malnourished in their appearance. However, verse 15 of Daniel chapter 1 tells us that after 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat a portion of the king's meat. How could this be? How could they not eat up all the exotic foods of the king, eating only beans, and yet appeared more nourished than those who did? Well, because God blesses those who do the right thing. Verse 17 says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So much so that when they were tested by the king, he found them to be 10 times wiser in all matters than all the king's wise and learned men. And so we remember how, following this, God blessed Daniel and protected him even in the lion's den, and how he grew up to be a great prophet of God. In Genesis 37, we see the account of another young man who stood his ground for righteousness and was blessed greatly by God. Joseph was favored by his father because he was born to him in his old age. So his father Jacob made him a special coat of many colors. Because of this, his brothers resented him, and to exacerbate the problem, Joseph would have dreams of his brothers and his parents bowing down before him. One day when his brothers were out in the field, his father sent Joseph to meet them. And when they saw him approaching, they conspired to kill him. So they put him in a pit with the intention of leaving him there to perish, dipping his coat into blood, a blood of a wild animal, and returning it to their father so he would consider him dead. However, one of the brothers got them to agree to sell Joseph to the merchants passing by instead of having his blood on their hands. So they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites in turn sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver to Potiphar, who was one of Pharaoh's leaders. Potiphar liked Joseph and soon put him in charge of his palace. But Potiphar's wife's intentions were less than honorable. She desired to seduce Joseph, but the Lord was with Joseph. So much so that when Potiphar's wife offered herself to him, he refused and said in verse 9 of Genesis 39, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So he fled the scene. But Potiphar's wife accused him of something he did not do, and he was cast into prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and allowed him to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh's baker and butler, and then the dreams of Pharaoh himself, which pleased the Pharaoh so much that he made Joseph ruler over all of Egypt. The story goes on to show us Joseph's heart of forgiveness for the very brothers who had tried to kill him. We see later in the story that Joseph indeed saved their lives from starvation without question. God was pleased with Joseph and Daniel and rewarded them greatly for their faithfulness and integrity. But there is yet another account found in Acts chapter 5 that shows us what happens to those who are dishonest before the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a piece of land. They kept back for themselves a portion of that which they should have presented to the church, pretending that they had sold the property for less money. In verse 30 of Acts chapter 5, Peter confronted Ananias with these words, "Why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." In verse 5, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. This passage continues to explain that the young men took Ananias out and buried him. And a little while after, here comes his wife, not knowing what had just happened. So Peter asked her if they had sold the property for what her husband had declared to be the price. And she said, yes. In verse 9 of Acts chapter 5, Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. My friends, God is serious about honesty. If you do the right thing, God will be with you and he will bless you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? If you don't, he will deal with you harshly. Philippians chapter 4, Paul exhorted the church to dwell on good things. He said in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Whatsoever things are true. Young people, speak the truth and speak it ever, cost it what it will. He who hides the wrong he did the wrong thing still. If you're honest, you will speak truthfully. You won't tell lies. Things that are noble and just are things which are dignified, worthy of respect, and things which conform to God's standards. Things that are pure are those which are wholesome and not mixed with moral impurity. Things which are lovely promote peace and love rather than conflict. Things which are of good report are those things which are admirable. Those things which are positive and constructive rather than negative and destructive. These are excellent and praiseworthy in God's sight. In my story about the watch, what do you think made me choose to do the right thing? I might have been tempted to put that beautiful watch in my pocket, hoping to get away with it. But whatever seeds you plant, you will reap. Perhaps I would have been caught on camera, arrested, bringing shame to my family and myself. Perhaps being deported, destroying the rest of my life. When you're guided by the Holy Spirit, He leads you in the right path. He protects you from evil, and He teaches you the way of the Lord. He keeps you in the light, so you're not overcome by darkness. But you must obey. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, verse 9, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. George Sweeting told the story of Dr. Madison Surratt, who taught mathematics at Vanderbilt University for many years. Before giving the test, the professor would admonish his class something like this. Today I'm giving two examinations, one in trigonometry and the other in honesty. I hope you will pass them both. If you must fail one, fail trigonometry. There are many good people who cannot pass trigonometry, but there are no good people in the world who cannot pass the exam of honesty. If we are honest, my friends, we will admit that we are all sinners in a fallen world. 1 John 1:8 again says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because Adam and Eve sinned, we were all born in sin and fallen short of God's glory. Because God cannot abide in an atmosphere of sin. So we are, because of our sin, separated from a holy God. And without God, we're doomed for all eternity. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's really what we deserve. Not just physical death, but spiritual death and separation from God. But what a joy that that verse doesn't end there. Because the remainder of Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, my friends, God loves you. He doesn't love you because you're good. He just loves you. He loves you with an unconditional love, an agape love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has made a way for us to be forgiven of all our sins and for us to be reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father. And this is possible only by accepting the free gift of salvation, which Jesus alone can give through His shed blood for us on Calvary's cross. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you are here today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, today you have the opportunity to do so. Do the right thing. The right thing to do is to repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Come confessing your sins, and they will be forgiven if you're sincere. So many procrastinate coming to the Lord because they feel that their sin is too grave, or that they should wait until they clean up their act. Then they will come. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 5 verse 31, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Without Jesus Christ, you do not have the power to overcome some of the evil deeds and habits that have taken hold upon you. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Lord wants you to surrender completely to him and let him do his cleaning work in you. Accept him as Lord of your life and let the Holy Spirit begin to guide you and to cleanse you and use you to glorify God in all you do. So children, do the right thing. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.